Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This is Joe Mauer of the Minnesota Twins, and I never listen to Chad Hartman from noon to three on WCCO.
You're better than that!
So this day here at WCCO Radio was Do You Love America Day. Do You Love America? I'm here. Hammer's here. Laura's here. Who's not here? Who doesn't love America? Yeah, that's right. That's right, Lindsay and Adam. No, they're both off, both enjoying. I think Adam's expected to be back tomorrow. Lindsay's off for a couple days. Lindsay is with the Clooneys, trying to help them recuperate after the scooter accident. We might get into the big scooter situation. Laura, I almost was run over by a scooter.
Really?
About an hour ago. Buzzing.
One of the new birds?
Buzzing right by me. And by the way, they basically just went to St. Paul and said, we don't care about, you know, getting any authority.
Yeah.
That's
right.
That's a bit of a doozy. So we may get to that one. I about an hour ago, maybe even less than that, taped an interview with potential St. Paul City Council member David Martinez. Mr. Martinez has been involved in a couple matters at the St. Paul Library and at the Twins game. Twins game is banned for a year. Library is banned for a month. And it's a doozy of an interview. Let's just put it that way. There's plenty back and forth. It's rather interesting. I definitely want some feedback on that one. It is worth listening to. That's at 1:35.
That video was primetime viewing in our kitchen last night.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, it's
something.
It's worth listening to this this interview, too, at 1:35. Yeah, Mr. Martinez and what he put out with the Twins game and what's going on with the library. And he certainly raised his profile.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so for the folks who just say, hey, whatever news is out there, if you get your name out there, I never buy that completely, but he's certainly raised his name recognition. And you can debate whether it's helping him or not. You can listen to some of this, the entire interview at 1:35. Neil Justin on the Emmys, Dara on food, and a reporter on the president and how he's received in England since he is there today. But I've got one item for you, Hammer, Laura. This is, I was reminded this one last night. I'd forgotten this one. But the theory that many people believe was front and center again when Melania came down the steps, when the president and the first lady arrived in Brussels, that it was not Melania, that it was her body double.
What?
That it was her body double, that not only was the body double was standing behind the president when he was answering questions before he left Washington, D.C., and then it's the body double as he's walking down the stairs. Hammer, I hand over evidence. Why don't you take a look at those pictures and then pass along to fellow counselor Oakes. Tell me, yes or no, is that Melania Trump? Just in the first two pages right there. The first page. Take a look. The two pictures right there. Does that look like Melania Trump? Or is that body double Melania Trump?
I would say it looks like Melania. Just look at the picture. But if you look closely...
So what percentage?
I'd say I'm 92% sure that's Melania.
92%. Hand to Laura
Let's
Oakes.
See this
Hammer
thing.
Is now saying there's an 8% chance that is not
I'm
Melania.
I'm skeptical,
Trump.
But I can't rule it out.
Yes. Laura?
This is not Melania.
Okay.
No way.
I think the picture has been dubbed in. What do you think it is?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think it is. Because I saw numerous... video of Melania last night at the event.
Yeah.
She's 100% there.
She's there.
Listen, for the story purposes, I totally want there to be a body double.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be so good. I hope there's a body double for a lot of people that we find out.
Right.
But no, there is not.
There is not. But they must have doctored up this picture.
Yes.
But the top picture when she's getting off the plane, I specifically remember seeing that on the TV because I thought she could not look like she wants to be farther away from him.
Yeah.
And just watch her step on those steps, but not have not be anywhere near him.
But later, they were holding hands.
Well, yeah.
They were the body double was.
Oh, that's true. Maybe that's right. That's when the body double comes in.
Yes.
To hold hands.
The hand so,
Melania.
Yeah. How, and when did they make the body double? I mean, was the body double like during the, was it during the election? Was it at the White House? Where did they make?
Oh, man.
All right. The Peter Strzok hearings. These have been a doozy to watch. Also, doozy, apparently. I never used that word. Now I've used it twice. They have been bizarre. They have been controversial. They have been polarized by our politics. We're talking about Peter Strzok and what has been taking place in D.C. today in Congress. But right now, Laura Oakes has a news update. So let's get to the much-discussed hearing that is still taking place. Congress today. This involves Peter Strzok. So Peter Strzok was the lead agent when the FBI looked into Hillary Clinton and the Trump campaign, and now he's subject of an internal misconduct probe. The story came out when the text came out between Strzok and the woman he's having an affair with, Lisa Page, also in the FBI. And they were highly, highly critical of candidate Trump and President Trump. President has pushed the narrative, and a lot of people believe it, that there's just been an ongoing bias against him, that he's taken on Washington, that he's taken on the Democrats, he's taken on the swamp, and that the FBI and Robert Mueller, that this is all tied to it, that you got the lead person who looked at Hillary, looked at him, was savaging him to his lover. And was telling the truth. And then because of that, because the texts were so critical, so pointed, at one point saying, he's not going to be president, I will not let that happen, that how could this guy, Peter Strzok, be objective? Now, again, you look at the facts, the Inspector General's report, which came out weeks ago, looked at Strzok, looked at the texts. And there's no denying how blatantly critical he was about the president, but said when the inspector general looked at Strzok's actions, not his words to his lover, but looked at his actions, there was nothing inappropriate. Now, in this show, I've pointed out my criticism towards Donald Trump often. I could go again today when he's saying at NATO that NATO's so much stronger, and we've changed the amount that they're going to contribute up to potentially $33 billion. And right now, nobody from any other country is willing to say that they've upped anything and that they're staying with the 2% initiative that was pushed to 2024. It doesn't look like anything's changed. But if you watch the start of this, and I did, I just happened to get lucky, it was just a procedural screaming fest. Where the chair, Bob Goodlatte, turned over first the questions to Trey Gowdy. Trey Gowdy, again with a new haircut. He's always impressive with his different hair. But is asking very pointed, very specific questions to Strzok. And Strzok is saying, due to the FBI guidelines, I cannot answer these questions. I can't answer. And then Goodlatte was threatening to hold him in contempt, was pointing out that he'd been subpoenaed there. Strzok is saying, no, I appeared voluntarily. He had been questioned once before behind the scenes. Then he said he wanted to testify publicly. So that was a bit of the debate where Goodlatte said, no, you're still subpoenaed. He said, no, I did the subpoena part. I'm now appearing here publicly. The Democrats were jumping in. Goodlatte wanted no part of them. It went back and forth for a long time. But then he got back to the thrust of it. And the point is where Strzok kept saying, never, ever did I consider stepping away due to my bias. And that Robert Mueller, when he finally said, you're out, you're done, I can't have you here, didn't tell him why he was out. So I ask these questions. Can someone be in charge of these types of investigations, first into Clinton and then into Trump, and have an opinion? Because people are going to have an opinion. That is unavoidable. The question is, how vehement is the opinion? How forceful is the opinion? And does the opinion affect your job? And also, is there documentation of your opinion? Because to think anybody who's involved in an investigation does not have an opinion, it's just a lie. Now, the question is, does that opinion ever affect the quality of their work? For me, he was a fool that he would be this high up in the command and then bludgeon the person he is investigating. Now, some are going to say, listen, it's your lover. You're going to tell her or you're going to tell him anything. That's what you're going to do. And you can be disgusted. And Strzok pointed out there are many areas where he just was disgusted by the president's actions in many different ways. Can you allow somebody? Because I want phone calls and texts in the 651-989-9226 or 81807. Do you have enough faith in someone's quality of their work if the inspector general comes in and says, we don't see any signs at all that it affected his work whatsoever when you're this blatant in destroying the person you are investigating in your private time? I think he was an absolute idiot to be saying the comments through the text. Now, he never thought the text would come out. And who knows, maybe he's just saying the text at some point to get Lisa Page in bed. I don't know. But to go this far, he's a fool to be in that position, to go to that level. But then if you come back and you say the independent inspector general, who's highly regarded, and says, we don't see anything that his judgment was affected. His actions, his direction, where he focused, wasn't affected in any way. Does it refute the narrative that's easily out there? Are you giving me a break? This guy's objective? Look what he said. When he actually had to tell the truth to his girlfriend, that's the truth. So how can he be objective? So what do you think? Can you still do 100% great job on who you're investigating if you have this much disregard for that person? And is it backed up by the report? Or are all our answers subjected to our bias? That if you love Trump, yep, this guy couldn't do the job. Or if you hate Trump, you say, hey, here's the report. I think Mueller should have got rid of him. I mean, he is backed by the IG report, but I cannot fathom how foolish he was to go to this level. To act like everybody is a robot, to not have your opinion, but to go to this level, it's just asking people to say, are you telling me completely you can be objective when it is an enormous investigation on whether the president and his team were involved in any sort of collusion in shaping the results of the election, whether you're colluding with Russia or anything else? Okay, what do you think? I want texts. I want phone calls. 81807 or 651-989-9226. Back in moments, let me tell you about Harry's and why I continue to love shaving with Harry's. It's the best razor I've ever used. Each cartridge I get lives up to it. These two guys who started this company years and years ago, they didn't want to pay as much money, as some of the top brands were charging you. So they started this great factory in Germany. They found the best people, cost half the price of a lot of the name brand competitors. Then you look at some of the other smaller companies, which are getting bigger and bigger, trying to take on the big bad bully. You know, you got to subscribe. There's no subscription with Harry's. Also, if you have any doubts about the quality of the shave, 100% money back guarantee. So for a limited time, here's what new customers can get. When they go to harrys.com, promo code HEART, 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, travel cover with $3 when, and by the way, I did say $3, when you go to harrys.com, promo code Hartman. Do not hesitate. On Peter Strzok, can he be objective? Is he backed up by the Inspector General, or are his words through text too much and you don't give him any credibility because what he said in the documents, and then do we take it in the right context? And are all of our views just shaped by how we view the president? 81807, as I was going through, was it Peter Brady? I think it was Peter, correct? Yeah. Or a call, 651-989-9226. We'll get to Dan, Dan and a number of texts in a matter of moments. Part of what Strzok said. I can assure you, Mr. Chairman, this is in responding to Trey Gowdy when they had the very testy back and forth. Gowdy is a skilled prosecutor. I can assure you, Mr. Chairman, at no time in any of these texts did those personal beliefs ever enter in the realm of any action I took. At every step, at every investigative decision, there are multiple layers of people above me, the assistant director, the executive assistant director, deputy director, director of the FBI, and multiple layers of people below me, section chiefs, supervisors, unit chiefs, case agents, and analysts, all of whom are involved in all of these decisions. They would not tolerate any improper behavior in me any more than I would tolerate in them. That is who we are as the FBI. And the decision that I, in some dark chamber somewhere in the FBI, would somehow cast aside all those procedures, all those safeguards, and somehow be able to do this astounds me. It simply could not happen. That does sound very credible. I think there's a lot of believability in that. And then when you add the Inspector General, I get it. But when you also have the vehemence, the borderline hatred, and again, so many things that Donald Trump during the campaign could generate the reaction, I've pointed those out. You are involved as one of the lead investigators, and you put this out, you're begging people to wonder what was going on and was it affected. The problem is it wasn't in a vacuum. There was so many other people who could step in and say, this is not allowed. So to me, you have to believe that not only was Strzok in the tank for Hillary or out to get candidate and then President Trump, but that many other levels were also, and the Inspector General doesn't back that up. Dan is in Hopkins. Dan, you're on.
Hey, Chad.
Yes, sir.
You know what? I guess for me, as a contractor, middle class America, the forgotten man, maybe, it's to see that the complete Hillary destroyed evidence. She destroyed subpoenaed evidence. She, you know, and then there was no charges. There was nothing. If the shoe was on the other foot and a Republican had done what she had done, there would have been headlines in every newspaper every day, and the person would have been in jail. But because she lied, she had a server. How can she not have intent, have a server in her house sharing classified information, saying that she didn't, lying about it, and then nothing ever happens to her?
Well, let me chime in, Dan. I'll let you come back. It was covered. It was covered all the time. I didn't believe her explanation. I thought it was ludicrous when she was the one who decided to scrub those. I'm sorry, if you're involved in the investigation, you don't get to do that. That was absolutely absurd. I'm not 100% convinced, like you, that a Republican would have faced that. But it just points out the divide that we do have in this country, that people, that there are tens of millions of people who believe what you said. Part of the fact that she was so thin, and I just didn't believe her. That was part of the reason why I didn't vote for her in the end. That I felt like she was just lying about this. But, I mean, what do you say, Dan, about the Inspector General and all the other levels of the FBI who either could stop his actions, or the inspector general saying after months and months of investigation, they don't see a scintilla's worth of proof that he, in a negative way, in a biased way, affected the investigation.
Well, you kind of, who is that, the military man, who a highly respected military man that lost, now has spent his whole livelihood, everything, sold his house to defend himself? Was it
Michael Flynn?
Michael Flynn. Look at the destruction of Michael Flynn.
Oh, well, he lied. He lied, right?
In context, they threatened to go after his son. You know, you see the efforts about the highest levels of government threatening people. If you don't give us what we want to hear, et cetera, we're going after you. Look at.
Well, that's because his son was involved in the corruption also. Listen, prosecutors go hardball and on both sides.
Well, I think Hillary.
But again, there was an investigation into Hillary also. I don't believe her explanation in the 33,000. But again, show me the proof that, again, the bias was there. And that's why Hillary was in charge. Her words didn't hold up for me. And I decided not to vote for her because of that. Steve is in St. Paul. Go ahead, Steve. You're on CCO.
Well, I'm a retired supervisor of a police investigation unit.
Great.
Retired after 36 years.
Great. Thanks for calling in.
And I can, I can tell you that any detective that has such ingrained bias that would write the emails he wrote with the statements he made wouldn't, although he would say, I would not intentionally use my bias in altering the investigation, he's not going to be able to help himself. When I had investigators that were he had a predetermined conclusion, I had to challenge every move they made. I had to at times move them away, but that's only if I knew it. So for him to say that the layers below him and the layers above would absolutely guarantee that no bias could be used is B as in B, S as in S.
Well, I think you make so many good points, Steve, but that's why they had the inspector general detached come in, because I'm completely suspicious. Listen, you know it 1,000% better than me. To me, your words really resonate, but the inspector general came in and said, we see zero. We don't see any evidence of it.
And what they're looking at is, can we see evidence that he blatantly and deliberately steered an investigation away from credible evidence? Well, what they don't say is, we can guarantee his bias didn't stop him from looking for other credible evidence or not following through with something that was benign to begin with. It's so subjective. There's so many ways you can go in an investigation that when we would do our investigations and we believed we had it concluded, we would go back and look at it as prove we're wrong. That's what can we do to prove we're wrong?
Sure.
And sometimes we would find things that altered the outcome of an investigation.
Steve,
so
thanks.
I'm not faulting.
Right. Let me just jump in here. Thank you so much for your service. Yeah. Thanks for calling in. Call in another time. I'm just up against the clock here a little bit, but I'm glad you called.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. 35 past 12. Traffic, weather, news, and then lighten up. Emmy Stock. They're announced today, our guy Neil Justin, in about 3 minutes.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Big day in TV. The Emmys announced, the primetime Emmys announced, and our guy Neil Justin, the excellent television radio critic for the Star Tribune, is kind enough to join us. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I'm assuming the major headline is that for the first time in 18-some years, HBO does not have the most nominations.
Is that right? You've made an observation that I have not yet. What is the leader of the package? Is it Netflix?
You are correct.
Yeah. Not a surprise. I mean,
yep.
HBO definitely doesn't spread across. And, you know, they didn't have like a Big Little Lies this year,
yep.
Which really helped tally up. HBO is just not the powerhouse it once was.
They do have Game of Thrones, and
they
ended up getting 22 nominations. It is, to most people, the critics' darling, the public's darling, but I think we're in sync. Both of us are still like, on the show. I like it. I don't love it.
I really have enjoyed the last couple seasons.
Okay.
Which is surprising because it's departed from, there's no novel as a blueprint.
Yes,
and I think
right.
It's actually helped the series. It's become, and they ratcheted up the action, they ratcheted up the plot. I thought there was a lot of moping around, the first few seasons. And as a thriller goes, it's hard to beat the look and the pace of these last two seasons. It is, if you like that kind of visceral drama, as exciting as television's ever gotten. I guess my main criticism, aside from the first few seasons taking its own sweet time, is that there's really no deeper meaning there. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure that should make it an Emmy winner, but it, it's just a bunch of people killing each other.
I mean, it is a stunning amount of nominations here, though. I mean, 22 this year, 23 and 16, wasn't eligible last year, 24 and 15, 19 and 14, 16 and 13. That's a
big cast, and there's a lot of technical stuff going on. So those two things will help you get a lot of nominations. But it's the kind of thing that television likes because it proves it can contend with the movies.
Yeah,
Game of Thrones is presented and has the same appeal that big blockbuster hits have in the cinema. So while television is, I think, at its best often when it's intimate, it can be more intimate than movies can be. There's still that old-fashioned competition with the big screen. And Game of Thrones is maybe a throwback, which is odd to say because it's there's so much modern technology involved. But it's trying to be the same thing Marvel Comics is trying to be and all the other blockbusters. And that's going to appeal to voters.
I have contended that over the last couple decades, The Americans has been one of the most underappreciated shows in this golden age of television. It finished this year. I thought it finished in a fantastic fashion. I thought the two leads were great. The show was honored. I thought Noah Emmerich should have been honored as best supporting actor. But they don't win. Will they have any better chance in their final year?
I think your applause for the show probably means more to them than anything the Emmys could do.
I think you're right, yeah.
For the most part, the common knowledge is that it's probably too late. If it didn't get that sort of love early on or after a couple seasons, Emmy tends to overlook you and you never can get back in their good graces. There are exceptions, but it usually comes for the actors. At some point, actors are recognized. Kyle Chandler, after many years, was finally recognized for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
Tatiana Maslany for Orphan Black, after many years, finally recognized. So that can happen, and it's possible that Kerry Russell, I think, in particular, might finally get some love. So that happens. In terms of the show winning, it's certainly unlikely. But actors are sometimes... Andre Brower is a classic example for Homicide. I think it was his fifth year or so that he finally got the win. There's a chance. I haven't looked deep and hard at the dramatic actresses. But Kara Russell was really the biggest star of that show and had the juiciest role. No slight to her husband, Matthew Rhys. But I think if that show does get any love in its last season, it might go to Carrie.
Yeah, I thought Carrie was the star, Neil, for about 90%. I just saw Matthew was so good the last two episodes, right? And to folks who watch the show, I think there's almost universal thumbs up on how it finished. I would think, Neil, Justin Star Tribune with us, by the way, on the Emmys, that if we're looking at the favorite in some of these categories, I think it centers around The Handmaid's Tale, right? It's so well done. There's so much momentum for it. You with me, or you think somebody else? Either, because I think it's Elizabeth Moss in both lead actress and for the drama category also.
I'm not sure I agree with you. I think there was a little bit of backlash in the second season. And, of course, Game of Thrones is back. So, that's going to be an interesting competition. It's unlikely it'll happen, but I was very one of the if I had any sort of horse in the race, I was hoping Sandra Oh would get nominated in that Best Actress category. She did for Killing Eve, which was one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, right.
Of the year, was not nominated for Best Drama, but she got a nomination. And you know, I think Evan Rachel Wood's character really was very interesting in Westworld, the second season. And you've got a bunch of veterans there. I mean, Tatiana Maslany is a previous winner in that category as well, and that's as challenging a role as any on television. It's the final season of that. Claire Foy, The Crown, is very popular. So I think that's going to be a very interesting, that's a more interesting race than the male. And actually, looking at the list, one could argue that Matthew Rhys has a better chance. Because if you look at that list, you've got Jeffrey Wright and Ed Harris, who may count each other out for Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Sterling Brown, who won last year.
Right.
Will probably win again. But not Milo from This Is Us is also in there. Jason Bateman, I don't think, has a chance for Ozark, but he's very popular in Hollywood. So that's a very interesting category. And that may be where the Americans find love. But, you know, the really interesting things, you know, Game of Thrones was off last year, which kind of opened up the race for drama. This year, Veep is on the bench.
Yep.
Because the star was going through cancer treatment.
I was just going to
really
mention.
It's really opened up the comedy categories. Veep has won 3 years in a row. I think Julian won 6 years in a row.
Crazy. It's amazing.
So that's really going to be the fun, I think. And two of my favorite series of the year, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Glow, both did very well. Although the biggest shocker for me was that Alison Brie from Glow was not nominated.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought she was a shoo-in.
I think she's
I thought
great
Mark
on that
Maron
show.
Had a chance at supporting actor.
Yeah, I agree.
But he was not nominated. It did leave room for Issa Rae for Insecure, which is a very interesting performance. And I thought Pamela Adlon in Better Things was terrific. If I'm naming a lot of females, it's on purpose. I think it's going to be a year that those are going to be some of the more interesting races. The performances I think about the most from this last year are female-driven.
Now the biggest question. Are you battling a cold or are you battling allergies?
I'm battling a cold,
yeah.
But summer. I'm also thinking about keeping it. Don't you think it sounds, is it not good for radio or is it fantastic?
No, I think it's a different sound. I mean, I don't know if maybe you're doing voices now, right? I mean, you're just.
I would like to do voices. It's something I've, looking to make some extra cash.
You're wealthy already.
Different animated characters. A character with a perpetual cold is a character I'm auditioning for.
An underutilized character. I don't remember.
Now, were you a fan of Barry? Barry did very well, a little better than I thought it would.
So here's where I'm at with Barry. I literally have every episode taped, and I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, okay. So that's no help at all.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't give you any points with anyone.
I think that sums up my role here on the station. You know, I no help at all. You know, I mean, I positive reviews. I think Bill Hader's great. It's an odd concept, but I still haven't put it down yet.
Well, you told me once that anything Henry Winkler was in that you would watch.
Hey, the Fonz. Seriously. The Fonz. He's good in it, right? I got to go.
You got to go.
Emergency. Okay. Just load up on Emergency.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That'll help you. I'm concerned about your health.
Thank you, Chad.
Yeah, I don't think he believed that. Summer cold.
You are a very caring man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Cures for the summer cold, 81807. Let's pause. It is 12:56. That is your Linda's Construction Time Check. Time to improve the look of your home with Infinity by Marvin Windows. We taped an interview with prospective St. Paul City Councilmember David Martinez. It's a spirited back and forth, to say the least. We're going to play that at 1:35 and also reporter on how the president is received in England. That comes up in 10 minutes.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.